Praise God. Aren't we blessed to be in church? I'm so grateful I'm saved, first of all. Secondly, I'm so grateful I'm part of this church. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really. You know, I'm so blessed to be doing life with you. And it's an awesome thing to bring the word of the Lord at any point in time. But I have to say, it's an even more awesome thing to bring the word of the Lord in this season. And, you know, the scripture in Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. As I was preparing this word this week, I had that going on, you know, on the inside. Lord, I just want to hear your voice, not mix it with any of my own thinking or reasoning, but really your word. So that's what I'm trusting for this morning. The Lord, he is doing a deep work in us, isn't he, church? Really restoring appreciation of him. You know, we heard it in the praise reports, a new reverence for his presence. Reverence for his presence in our lives, really. And the awareness that he's the greater one. You know, that we're here for him, not the other way around. It's amazing how our own selfishness really twists it. He's here for me to answer my prayers, to be at my beck and call. No, he's the greater one, and we're here for him. And it feels healthy, doesn't it? I have to say that this kind of cleansing that's going on in my heart and my life is long overdue. And it's long overdue in all of our lives. But the problem is not on God's end, never is. It's been on ours. But praise God, because of his grace, he is at work, really exposing our lack of desire for him. You know, I know things are changing, praise God, but there has been a lack of desire, and this kind of thinking that we're okay. That was a kind of common theme through those praise reports. I didn't realize, actually, how awful I was. You know, I kind of tick in the church box and getting on with the rest of life, independent of him. Kind of checking in occasionally to get our needs and wants met, but essentially doing life independently of him. And, you know, there's so much going on. And, you know, as Haggai says, we've been busy with our own agendas, busy building our own houses and neglecting his. But praise God, he's bringing this to our attention. You know, personally, I've gone through another dose of repentance this week. And I have to say, it took me by surprise. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. I kind of thought, you know, pretty much I'd been cleared out. But, you know, I was just having time with the Lord. And it's like, we're his house, aren't we? And it's almost like he swung wide another door and shone his torch into a dingy corner. I was like, okay. And so there's that. Stuff we're not even aware of, but he knows it's there. All things are laid bare and open to him, aren't they? And it needed repenting of, it needed clearing out, but it's great. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for this kind of thorough working of his word and spirit in my life. And I know it's the making of me, and I know it's the making of you. And I just want you to say to the person next to you, God's dealings are the making of me. So he's exposing these wrong priorities, lack of trust. Anybody been convicted of the kind of desire to stay in control, fear of letting go? It's like a half a hand or a half a... Yes, fear of letting go, wanting to stay in control of our own lives and our own destinies. The Lord is dealing with a lot of stuff, and it's great. It is the making of us. And one of the scriptures that I keep being reminded of, keeps coming back to mind, and we've got it up on the screen. It's from Psalm 119. It says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. And I love the image that that gives, just running free, unshackled. Free in heart and mind, free to run on his path of commands. Loving righteousness, hating lawlessness, anointed with the oil of joy. And that's really what he wants for all of us just running free in his will. and staying on that road. The thing is, we all go on that road for a little bit and then we take a detour off onto our own, you know, into the wilderness where we get miserable and weighed down. But he just wants us permanently on that path, free. Like Eric Liddell, do you remember the Chariots of Fire film? And he ran and it says he just threw his head back for the glory of God. I just really had that when I was praying one day. I want to do life like Eric Liddell, just throw my head back and run for the glory of God. And the reason the Holy Spirit is kind of churning, it's like the churning of waters, churning all this stuff up, revealing this muck really, is so that we will repent and change, be cleansed, so that we are vessels of honor, fit for the Master's use. But apart from that, I want to add to that, it's not just so that we're cleaned up to use us. He's actually wanting close relationship with us, to do life with us, really. And as I was preparing this message, I kind of, a lot of the time, I thought, I wish I could just stand here and give this message in tongues. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, my spirit was full, but a lot of the time when I sat down with my pen and paper, it's like, it's all here, but nothing's here. My head is empty. My spirit's full, but my head is empty. And I don't know how even to put words to this message. So I would just like you to reach out, put the hand on the arm of the person next to you and pray, Lord, reveal your will to them. Open their ears to hear your voice, Lord. And just pray for an increased desire for him. Thank you, Jesus. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You love prayers like that. We know we're praying according to your will. So thank you. We will have what we've asked for. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've come so far this month, haven't we? And Pastor Judith said to me the other day, I'm just really praying that, because there has been an awakening. There really has. I mean, you know, to different extents in all of our lives. But we believe, you know, and those testimonies are testament to that, confirm that, that there has been an awakening going on. But we don't want to just wake up, stretch, turn over and go back to sleep, because it could happen, couldn't it? We don't want that. We don't want that. Let's not go back. And so I reckon, if I could boil it down to kind of a subject title, I believe this morning the Lord wants me to speak about prayer. Prayer. Who, let me ask you this question, who can raise their hand with me and say they're learning to love prayer more? Or even learning to love prayer again, yeah? Praise God. Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Right there, because your flesh never wants to pray. Often in the past, we've prayed because we've had a need, or we know somebody with a need, or we've maybe prayed out of a sense of duty. But actually, we're learning to pray again because we want to, because we love him, actually. And we're more and more interested in what he's got to say, moved by his need, because we want to see his kingdom come, his will be done in real ways, you know, in real ways that we can see, touch, experience in our lives, you know. And the Bible says, doesn't it, the kingdom of God is a matter of power, not of talk. We've seen some power, thank you, Jesus, but we know there's a whole lot more because he's God. And there's been a whole lot of talk, and we want to see more of the power and less of the talk, really, don't we? The power confirming the talk. And for that to happen, he has to have clean vessels. The power comes through clear, clean channels. That's why he's sorting us out, praise God. And if you're open to it, which I believe most of us, if not all of us in this room are, he will do a thorough job, a proper job, so stay down here. He'll do a proper job. A couple of weeks ago I was praying, and I just prayed Lord, I know I need to change. I think I said this to you before. I know I need to change, but I don't know how. And I know some of my routines need to change, but I don't know how. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. And I just prayed this simple prayer. Lord, change my heart, change my head, change me. Change my heart, change my head, change me. And it wasn't a long prayer, but it was an honest prayer from my heart. And I do believe that he heard. And I am in the process of that, same as you. We're in a process. God's at work and we are in a process. He's working. Really, he is. He's working in all of us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And I have to say, I feel relieved every time I think about that. I know I'm not there yet, but I also know I'm not where I was. And I'm so thankful for that. Just say, I'm in a process. God's at work in me and I'm in a process. Thank you, Lord. And you know, when you pray, quite a lot of the time, you don't really feel anything, do you? But if I just believe, well, I'm in a process and God's at work to change my heart, change my head and change me. Change my desires, change my thoughts. We all have thought patterns, don't we? That lead to patterns of behavior, and they're kind of grooves in our thinking. It's kind of the road you travel on most often. It's your default pattern. You know, if you behave in a certain way enough times, it becomes a pattern of thought and a pattern of behavior. It's scientifically proven. They're actually called neuropathways. But the good news is, with the word and prayer, we can create new grooves, new patterns of thinking. The Lord knows us. He knows how we're made. And he knows that with the word and the spirit, we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And therapists pat themselves on the back and think they're so clever at working out the human brain, but God made it. He knows how we work, and he knows what it takes to transform a life, to transform an individual. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so we need the word. But we don't just need the word. And I think this is what we've all had a refreshing insight into in these last few days. It's the power of the word and prayer. Because without the prayer, you can read and be informed, but your heart stays the same. The prayer softens the heart. And really, only as I'm praying mercifully are my eyes open to see my need, same as you, only as I'm praying. And because without prayer, don't we all convince ourselves we're okay? I mean, I do it. I know you do it. I'm okay. I'm all right. Not in a bad place. You know, my thoughts and actions, they're okay. My behavior, it's all right. You know, the way I spoke to that person, that's okay. And we make excuses and we justify ourselves. And it's to our own detriment, actually, because we stay in those wrong grooves of thinking, wrong patterns of behavior. And this is what the Lord is wanting to liberate us from, so that we can run on the path of his commands, free as birds. So if we all let him in, this is the good news, the word and the spirit will actually show us we're not okay. Because there is a work to be done. There is a process to go through, to be changed, to become more like Jesus. And like, you know, I said earlier, he will shine his torch in and show us the things that we perhaps didn't even know were there that need sorting out. They just need repenting of. It's not that you have to work to change, because we can't. We just need to repent and say, Lord, change me. Help me. And he does. Prayer and the word changes us. If you're writing notes, that's a good one to write down. Prayer and the word changes me. And my goodness, don't we need changing. I have to say, I've never been more convinced of my own need to change. We're ugly in the flesh, aren't we? I am ugly in the flesh. You are ugly in the flesh. In fact, say to the person next to you, I am ugly in the flesh. But give them the good news. Prayer and the word can change me. Praise God. He, you know, the scripture says, doesn't it? He beautifies the humble with salvation. Interesting, there's a condition to it. He beautifies the humble with salvation. And I just want to share a really encouraging conversation that I had with somebody here last week who's been coming into the building to pray most days. And she said to me, I thought this was very interesting. She said to me, I don't ask myself how I feel in the morning. I don't ask myself if I want to pray. I don't even think about it. I get in the car, drive to the building, and I start to pray. It's a non-emotional decision of the will. So no matter how she feels in the morning, the decision is made, and there's power in that. There's no wiggle room because the decision's made. Body, shower, dressed, in the car, off you go. That's your pattern. Okay? And as a result, she said her heart is just warming to Jesus again. She doesn't know how. You know, it's a hidden work of the Spirit, isn't it? But opening her eyes, unblocking her ears, so that she's hearing his voice more often and more clearly. More often and more clearly than she ever has before. Decision of the will. Made. Before the temptation comes not to. And she said it's not a sensational thing, really. It's not a dramatic thing. I just know bit by bit the Lord's changing me. Bit by bit. Naturally speaking, if you're sick, you take medicine. As believers, we go to the Lord, and sometimes he tells us to go to the doctor. Okay, you know, we believe. We believe, first of all, in the power of God to heal. But at times he uses medicine. But naturally speaking, taking the Lord out of the picture for a moment, if you're sick, you take medicine. Do you wait till you feel like it? If the doctor said to you, here's your medicine, 2 tablets, 3 times a day, you don't wait till you feel like it, do you? You don't say, well, I'm not going to take them this afternoon. I feel a bit tired. Or I'm not going to take them this evening because I've got something better to do. You take them. Because you have confidence. Those tablets are going to make me well again. Well, let me tell you, prayer is making us well again. Prayer is the medicine and the treatment that is making us well again. And a couple of the scriptures we've been praying this week as a church are from Isaiah 57. Now, I don't know if you've read recently that chapter. I've read the whole chapter, and it's all to do with the idolatry of Israel. It's a sobering chapter, and one of the things actually the Lord notices in verse 11, he actually says, you do not fear me. This have happened because you do not fear me. You've lost sight of who I am. And of course, they got into all sorts of sin and depravity, same as we do, when we do not fear him and lose sight of who he is. But the solution comes, praise God, in that verse 15. And actually, in my Bible, the heading for this is healing for the backslider. See, the Lord looks at backsliding like a sickness. Healing for the backslider. It's a self-inflicted sickness. It's not put upon you. In a sense, you choose it. But here it is. Here's our medicine in verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Our healing comes that way, through humility and repentance. Contrition. It's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? But I actually looked up the word contrite. It means conscience-stricken, remorseful, and sorry. The Lord heals the hearts of those kind of people. Well, what are we sorry for? We're sorry for doing life independently of him. We're sorry for ignoring him. We're sorry for preferring other things and other people to him. Sorry for making him something on the to-do list rather than who we love and do life with. Can't prayer be kind of belittled to something on the to-do list, or now I've got to? The Lord wants to remove the I've got to the it's just part of who I am. This is how I live my life. Humble people say sorry, don't they? Humble people will admit when they're wrong. And they'll say sorry, they'll repent. They won't point the finger and blame somebody else. They won't try and justify themselves and go off in a strop. Flesh does that. Humble people will raise their hand and say, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. They'll change their thinking and their ways. And do you know what the Lord says? That's your healing. Yes. That's your healing. Humble people recognize God knows better. God has a better way. And actually, they recognize, I need to hear his voice. I actually really need to hear God's voice. Today and tomorrow, I'll need to hear his voice. And later, I'll need to hear his voice. I just want to keep, you know, like Isaiah 55, keep my ear inclined to hear, so that my soul will live. And so humble people pray. Just say to the person next to you, humble people pray. Humble people know they need God. You know, Pastor Colin, for years, I mean, he's always said, hasn't he, proud people don't pray. Let me just let that one sit. Proud people don't pray. Pride actually is expressed through prayerlessness. So what's the definition of pride? Well, I'm sure we're all clear, but just in case. Pride is too high an opinion of yourself. I think I'm right. I think I know what's best. And because of that, proud people don't listen to God. Because they don't think they need to. They listen to themselves. And proud people don't depend on God because they don't think they need to. They depend on themselves. And this season, I can feel it. It's uncomfortable for the flesh. It's uncomfortable for my flesh and, of course, for yours. But we're in a process. Praise God. And God is at work in us to expose the crooked places. We're not all thinking straight and true in our thinking yet. Praise God, there has been some renewing of the mind, but there's still some crooked places that need straightening out. And the Lord's at work to expose these things. Wrong priorities. Wrong allegiances. This lack of dependence. Often, you know, if we're honest, we don't really trust the Lord until we run out of all other options. Until your back's really against the wall, you've got no other options, then we pray, God, I need you. A little bit like the Israelites when they had the Egyptian army come up behind and the Red Sea in front. They knew they needed God. And it actually says they cried out to the Lord. They were very afraid and cried out to the Lord. And do you know what Moses said to them? Amazing man of God. He said, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What happened? An incredible miracle of deliverance. The Red Sea opens up. They walk through. The sea wall closes. The Egyptians get drowned. Amazing work of deliverance that they saw with their own eyes. Their children saw with their own eyes. And yet, did they learn to depend on God? What an incredible, I mean, come on. Had you seen that, you'd have been like, for the rest of my days, I'll never doubt God again. I'll pray about everything. Did that happen? No, no. They went back to depending on themselves. Can't we be like that? We hit a crisis, we cry out to the Lord, we trust him with all our hearts because our backs are against the wall. The Lord, in his mercy and grace, works a miracle for us when we cry out to him, and then we go back to depending on ourselves. And it's not the plan. It's not the way we're meant to live, this kind of yo-yo dependence from him to me, to him to me. We're all guilty of it. You know, some of us like that, others of us more like that, but still, the Lord's wanting to get rid of this yo-yo dependence, my life as well. Psalm 62 verse 8 says this: "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Just think about that in your day tomorrow. Trust in him at all times, whatever your name is. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you. What's pouring out your heart? Prayer. What's crying out to the Lord? Prayer. I've written down here, and I just want to deliver this to you this morning. I believe this is the word of the Lord to many. Stop trying to manage everything yourself. Stop trying to sort everything yourself. Stop trying to cope with everything yourself, because you can't. This kind of plate spinning pressure that we can all come under, but most of us have very busy lives, and it's like you're spinning this one and then this one. You know, it's not been on TV for years, but sometimes it used to be on TV, didn't it? These kind of plate spinning contests. And you can feel like that at times, can't you? I can feel like that at times. And then it's like, oh, now I've got to fit more Jesus in. That's another plate. Spin, 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 spin. And the Lord says, stop spinning. Stop trying to do life really under your own steam. I want us to look at a famous story, but word of the Lord's story for this season, Luke chapter 10. In fact, I think it's going to come up on the screen, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Here we go. "Now it happened as they went that he," that's Jesus, "entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving." Who can admit to being like that at times? We all. "And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care?'" You can hear the whine in the voice, can't you? "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." "And Jesus answered and said to her," love this, love how he says, "Martha, Martha." You can kind of hear the care and the affection for her, really. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." She got a very nice correction right there. I bet she wasn't expecting that. But the Lord really spoke to me from these verses, and he said Martha was spinning plates, like you do, like I do, here a little, there a little, shoulders sagging under responsibility, mad at her sister for not picking up hers as she saw it. And what did Jesus say to her? If we could bring that verse 42 back, I don't know if that's possible. What did Jesus say to her? I'll turn there. "One thing is needed. One thing is needed. Sit at my feet, Martha. Mary's chosen the better part, and what she has won't be taken away from her." And the Lord really spoke to me through this verse a while ago now. And he said, not only did Mary choose what was better, time with him, it remained. The time she had with him, the benefits remained. So the grace she received and the wisdom she received kept producing good fruit in her life and through her life. But Martha's busyness, my busyness, your busyness in the flesh, not only does it come to nothing, but the benefits, any benefit that you get from it, is taken away. It's short term. You know, we're busy, busy, busy because we think we can achieve X, Y, Z. It won't remain. Even what she has is taken from her. I think that sounds very familiar to our Haggai scripture. Haggai 1, verse 6. You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Consider your ways. Still our word, because God's so good. God is so good to us. That's why the word's the same. Consider your ways. Finish 21 days of prayer and fasting. Don't finish considering your ways. Jesus first. I was talking to Mary a couple of weeks ago, who was sharing with me something actually that Sarah Reed did with the kids in KTF. And it was a brilliant demonstration, really, about putting Jesus first. And she got coffee jars, and she got a rock representing Jesus, and she got some other bits and pieces that represented the stuff of life. And then she said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to put our stuff in first, and then we try and put Jesus on top. So all these bits and pieces and then the rock on top. Lo and behold, doesn't fit. Not enough room. But she said, let's try it the other way around. Let's put the rock, Jesus, in first, then see what we can fit in around him. Lo and behold, everything fits. Isn't that, I mean, my gosh, isn't that a good lesson for all of us? And the thing is, we are tempted to try and put the stuff in that we think we have to do, my responsibilities, put it all in first, and then Jesus. He never fits. Never works that way, because it's never designed to work that way. Jesus first. If you're not hearing this message, you must be deaf as a post. Jesus first, life will work. Jesus first, there's an ease and a grace comes with the other stuff. I have to say, you know, when you have time with the Lord, what you have to do then, there's a different dimension to it, because it's like God's in on it. You know the Message version of Matthew 11, it talks about these unforced rhythms of grace. It's that. Rock in first, Jesus in first, and then there's an ease and a grace to the other stuff of life that we have to do. I've noticed it. I'm sure many of you are experiencing that in that season. And let's not go back. Come on, church. Let's not go back to making the rock the one we put in at the end if he'll fit. Because you lose the grace. And actually, he won't fit. So we need to step out in faith and put him first. Don't we? Step out in faith and trust him with the consequences. Lord, I'm going to take care of your business then. I'm going to put your business first and trust you with mine. Our resources always look small to us, don't they? I know my resources do. I look at them and I think there's not enough, you know. And so giving to Jesus looks pretty challenging. A bit like the bread and the fish. They looked at it and they thought, no way. This isn't going to stretch. It's not enough. Put it into the hands of Jesus. Multiplication. You look at yourself. You think your time and energy, it's not enough. I know, Jesus, you're wanting more, but it's just, how can I do it all? Give him the first part. Lo and behold, multiplies it. Somehow, time in your day gets stretched. Energy, even physical energy in your body is expanded, you're able to do more. And you do it, like I said, with that grace. It's like a different ease about it. I also think, you know, we can be tempted to think, if I put Jesus first, that's going to cause problems for me. It's going to cause people problems. I'm going to offend people. I'm going to upset people. And you know what? Sometimes it does. Let's be honest. But But God is well able to sort everybody else. You're just responsible for you and your heart and your decisions. So if we do what we know is right, let's just trust the Lord with them, everybody else. Written down here, we need to fear God more than man. Matthew 10, verse 28 says this. Do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Sheesh. That's a sobering scripture. In other words, step back, take a long-term view of it. One day, you're not going to stand before your boss, or your husband, or your wife, or your friends. You'll stand before the one and give account. And I was afraid, or I wanted to please this person, that person, the other person. It won't carry any weight. In fact, to be honest, it will just be embarrassing. We need to have this attitude. I was thinking of Peter and John. You know when they were told to stop talking in the name of Jesus by the religious people? And they just said, judge for yourselves. Should we listen to you or God? We cannot help but speak of the things we've seen and heard. In other words, we're going to listen to God and trust him with the consequences. We're going to obey God and trust him with the consequences. And we don't have to be stroppy about it, you know. We can say it in a nice way, I'll do this and I'll do that, but I've got commitments outside of work, or I've got commitments beyond here, you know, other things that I have to do and I want to do, and so I can't do that, but I can do that. You see, the Lord will give you wisdom how to answer, but if you set his boundaries in, God will work. It invites the Lord in to work on your behalf. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. I have seen that in my life. I'm sure you've seen it worked out in yours. The fear of man proves to be a snare. Being afraid to say no, being afraid to put God's boundaries in, it ties people up and it wears people out. We end up normally overworking, overdoing, over. So then you've got no time or energy left for God and his kingdom. Next part, here's the good news. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. He will keep you safe. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. He will help you. You initiate changes for him. He initiates changes for you. We set the ball in motion with our right choices. He will change things to keep us safe and to bless us. Because all things work together for God, for those who love the Lord and accord according to his purpose. He's no man's debtor. You know, I've written down here, it feels like kamikaze to the flesh. Standing up against people and putting God's boundaries in. It's like, are you kidding? Really? This feels like jumping out of a plane right here. But you know, if we will jump into the will of God, he'll be that parachute. He will. He'll catch us. And you know, you might even enjoy the journey. Okay. I've nearly finished, but essentially, the Lord's saying the same message. Back to Jesus. But the way is prayer. Considering him. Considering what he wants. This new commitment prayer really is our hope of change. Whilst 2016 was not a bad year, there's many things I don't want to see repeated. And so my hope for 2017 is prayer. Prayer. Praying the word particularly changes us. The thing is, if we read the word, it might change our thinking short term. But unless we pray, the heart remains the same. So you might know the will of God, but you know you don't have any desire to do it. You with me? Your head kind of gets changed temporarily, but the heart remains the same. So you know more, but you have no inclination to do it. So the only way forward, church, is to pray the word. It's a powerful combo, isn't it? It's just a winning combo. Your ears get open to hear his voice, but also your heart gets softened to actually want what you're hearing, to want his will. To hear him and want him. Hear him and want him. That's what prayer and the word work in us. And my gosh, we need it. I need it. You need it. We need it. And you know, it's a joy. It's just a joy. You know, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And a house of prayer is a joyful house. There's joy in his house of prayer. And as we pray, it kind of develops a hunger for God, doesn't it? You know, it humbles you because you see where you've been wrong. And also it brings humility. And this hunger and humility put you in a position to receive. King David, I just want to just talk briefly about King David. King David lived his life like this. Humility and hunger through prayer. He was a busy man. Let's face it, he was responsible for leading the nation. You know, a lot of us have responsibility in this room. He was responsible for the nation. And yet he was a man after God's heart, scripture says. Naturally speaking, he had everything he could want. He had family and friends. He had servants who were willing to die for him. He had wealth, riches, position, respect. He had an elite army who won their battles. Naturally speaking, he had no needs. And yet, it wasn't enough for him. He knew my life, my joy, my strength come from my time with God. Psalm 63 verse 1 says this. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I so want to be, I'm not there yet, I'm getting there, but I so want that to be the real cry of my heart. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And I really pray, this is my prayer, that we all realize that this land, this world, is a dry and thirsty land. The world and all it can offer is a dry and thirsty land. You will never be satisfied by this world because you're not designed to be. Now, King David lived in a different time to us, but he would have experienced some similar pressures. Himself, his own flesh, his family, his friends, his job, his responsibilities, all pulling on his time, pulling on his energy, pulling on his attention. And David thought to himself, this is a dry and thirsty land. I've got to get with God. His loving kindness is better than life. He's the glory and lifter of my head. When I get in his presence, he anoints my head. My cup overflows. I've got to get with God. I've got to get with God. And I think we're all kind of getting to that place. I've got to get with God. It sounds ridiculous to say, but how come it didn't dawn on us before? I don't know. I almost don't care. I'm just thankful it's dawning now. I've got to get with God. Like Moses in the tent of meeting, I just got to get with God. And I'm confident he would have come out of those times with God with his face shining. I mean, radiant. It says in Psalm 34, verse 5, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. I think like King David, we go in to our time with the Lord. I know I do. Weighed down, shoulders sagging, under pressure. A mix of anxiety and self-pity, because the two often go together, let's be honest. Frowning, fed up. But if we will have humble and contrite hearts, be willing really to listen to him and accept his diagnosis of us, not just the situation, repent of what we need to repent of, he will revive the spirit of the humble. Like a I never say that word, defibrillator, what is that thing? You stick it on. Defib. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Like one of those things. You go in, he puts it on, boom, suddenly you're back to life. You go in half dead, boom, he revives you, back to life. Revives the heart of the contrite ones. And you come out radiant. You just feel better. Circumstances are probably exactly the same. Might even get worse. I know that happens. Times I've been in prayer, come out, it's even worse. But do you know what? God's at work. I'm set free. I'm free on the inside. You know? Free as a bird. I run in the path of your commandments, for you have set my heart free. I think it's the New King James version of that. It says, you have enlarged my heart. And it's like that. You know, when you obey God, it's like your heart gets bigger for him. Bigger for him. More love for him. Okay, I really am nearly finished. We receive so much more than we give, don't we, church, in prayer. Prayer changes us. He fills us with his spirit. So that we walk out, really, and people around us get blessed with the overflow. God spills out. Imagine that. Patience, kindness, the grace really that the world needs. But not just that, they can actually contact God, like on us. It's like God gets closer to the service. He's in us by his spirit. But when you've had time with him, it's like God comes to the surface. The world can contact him in a different way. Our friends and family need us to have time with God. Your workplace and your work colleagues need you to have time with God. This world, dead and, well, dying, well, it is dead in their sins. They need us to have time with God. Our assignment is the same as Jesus's, hasn't changed, to bring heaven on earth till the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of his Lord and Christ. I'm going to finish, and I really am, with Psalm 84, verses 5 to 12. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And I think we're almost there. Many of us are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, place of tears, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. What a promise. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. King David wrote this, by the way. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, low position, than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, goodness. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Blessed, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. What's the Lord saying this morning? We've got to get back to prayer because we've got to get back to trusting. Trusting in him. And I really mean trusting. Do you know what I mean? Really trusting that he's listening when you pray. When I pray, you know, I often, and I've said this to you before, but I often start my time of prayer by saying, thank you, Lord, I can hear your voice, and thank you, you can hear mine. It just activates my faith. He's a living God. He's a God who exists. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But I can hear his voice. He can hear mine. He's listening to my prayer. And he wants to speak to me. And we need to hear God's thoughts. Otherwise, we lean on our own understanding. Really, come on. We do. We rely on our own ability to work everything out. And we need to stop leaning on our own understanding. Thinking we're right. Thinking we know what's best. We need to hear his voice and do what he says, even when it doesn't make sense. Here's a revelation. We are called to listen and obey whether we understand it or not. A huge part of the Christian life is saying yes, even when we don't understand. We can't work it out. We don't know how or why. Don't lean on your own understanding, Scripture says, doesn't it? Trust in him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. He will make your path straight. Look, Imagine being Joshua. I want you to walk around Jericho once every day for 7 days, seven times on the seventh day. I mean, what? Why? I don't get that. And then what? Oh, he didn't even know the then what, but he did it. He did it, and he didn't understand. Peter fished all night, caught nothing. The Lord appears, go back out in the middle of the day. Craziness to a fisherman. Fishermen are down at the depths in the middle of the day. Go out in the middle of the day. He couldn't understand why, but he did it. You know the rest of the story. The Lord says to us, give us 10%. Give me 10% of your income. I'm going to open the windows of heaven. We don't understand how. How is it? I give 10%, I end up better off. How's that work? I don't get that. But it works. It works, doesn't it? We're called to obey him whether we understand or not. So, these pages just keep on coming. I've got just a couple more. The Lord, look, prayer power. This is what we need, isn't it? Prayer. Back to prayer, back to talking and listening to God. His kingdom come, his will be done. I'm going to sum up the message with a slide, I'm hoping. Here, in a sense, I could have just shown this. This is what I believe the Lord wants to say. Prayer will bring humility. The humility will lead us to prayer, because the humility, a humble person says, I need God. I need God. I need to hear God. So out of humility, we pray. The prayer then creates a hunger and a thirst. Humility and hunger, they go together, really. If you're humble, you'll have a hunger for God. And out of that place of hunger or thirst for God, you pray. And from that place, the Lord intervenes in ways that we've dreamed of. But this is a pathway. I've seen it to an extent in my life. I want to see it a whole lot more. But I know that prayer keeps me humble and prayer keeps me hungry. And when I'm hungry, I pray more. Can you see how prayer just runs through all of it? Prayer is the thing that keeps you moving in the right direction. Really, it is the catalyst for change, but it keeps us moving towards Jesus, towards his goal. So the prayer softens your heart. The prayer softens your heart. You see your need for change. Prayer makes you want him more, like King David. This world's a dry and thirsty land. I'm not getting what I need out there. I need you. And then from that place, God on earth, God in our lives, God in our circumstances, God through us out into the world. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to ask you to stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.